Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. It's Friday morning. Are birds chirping behind you, SP3?
Yes, they're chirping at what, 1:40 on a Friday afternoon. Apparently, we got birds chirping. My daughter loves it. She goes out on the terrace. She's like, "Birdies, birdies," and they're chirping and stuff. I'm not used to this. I'm from Harlem, ladies and gentlemen.
It sounds lovely. I didn't know if it was birds chirping or like something like squeaking in the background, but no. It sounds very lovely. I wish birds would chirp here. They're just sometimes they will. Sometimes they will.
Not in America, buddy? Apparently.
How's your birthday week been?
It's been good. Had a lot of fun on Wednesday. Got to, you know, spend some time with you, Will, Lily, and Connor. Got to spend some time with Sat talking about NXT, which is always fun with Joe Gacy promos. But then I got to spend some time with the family during the evening. Didn't have to do any news writing, so went out to get a bite to eat with the family. My twins were good, so that was a blessing. They must knew that it was Dad's birthday. So, yeah, it was a good birthday day. The week started with Monday morning choke, talking about Chris Paul's debacle. So that was a great start to the week. Tuesday, I got to see Alex and Sad in London, and London is crazy, man. London is like a whole bunch of like Times Squares combined together, like people running back and forth. Went to a nice little tavern, had a couple of drinks while I read about all the fallout from people walking out and stuff. So that was cool. And then got to eat some good wings with Alex and Sad on Tuesday. Then yesterday,
didn't punch Alex McCarthy in the face.
I did. I gave him a Superman punch. I waited till not a lot of people were watching, and I gave him a Superman punch, and I was like, "That's for Jeremy." And he looked at me back. He gave me a Glasgow kiss because he's Drew McIntyre's number one fan. So yes. that was the best response he could give to me. So it was a good start. It's been a good week for the SP3 week, as we dubbed it on Monday. So now we're here on a Friday, and we're here to talk more NBA playoffs, where the thumbnail title is definitely correct. So far, the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals suck.
Are we here to talk about the NBA playoffs? These games have been terrible. Like, they're just blowouts. It's very annoying. Like, I want good games. I don't have a rooting interest. I don't have a team interest. Games just haven't been close. Chocolate Thunder says the playoffs have been the best since 19. Desert Bug, I don't know if he's trolling or being sarcastic or not. Matt Payne says last round was outstanding. So far, 3 games this round has been disappointing. Last round was okay. The game 7 sucked last round. And I think that's where a lot of my disappointment comes in, is we had 2 game 7s and they were both blowouts. And then every game so far in the conference finals, they've been blowouts. It's just, there have been good games. I'm not going to say there haven't been good games. There have been some competitive series. But you look at the Phoenix-Dallas series from last round, like, none of those games were competitive. It went 7, but every game was like a double digit game. Like there just haven't been, the memorable games have been Boston and Nets game one, which was forever ago. And there was some good Boston and Bucks games. Like that was a good series until game seven. And then Memphis and Golden State was a good series. And then Minnesota and Memphis was good as well.
I actually had a conversation with my nephew. He goes to like a D2 basketball school. So he wished me happy birthday on Wednesday. So we got into a whole conversation about the NBA playoffs. And he said the same thing I was thinking, you're thinking, is that there's really only been really two good series. Like a couple of other series have had good games. Like game one between the Nets and Boston was really good. The Joel Embiid buzzer beater against the Raptors was really good. But there's only been two good series. That's Memphis and Minnesota and the Bucks and Celtics. The Bucks and Celtics was a good series. It was physical. It was a lot of close games. Memphis and Minnesota, you had all the comeback victories for Memphis and stuff. But other than that, it's been a wash pretty much these entire playoffs, which begs the question and the argument by me. The playoffs are not the same without the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh,
that's what it's all about.
They should make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs.
NBA should work with us. The NBA has granted me a championship back in 2002. Why can't they work with us and get us to the playoffs? Because they know it's more entertaining. They know more people will watch if the Los Angeles Lakers are involved. So that's my debate. That's my argument. The playoffs are not the same without the Los Angeles Lakers.
They should make the playoffs then. We want to talk about these series. So Boston and Miami is 1-1. Game one, Boston looked good in the first half. Miami, third quarter, really put it on them and turned the game around. One, Jimmy Butler was outstanding. Game two, Boston just kind of came out from the jump and was all over them. Jason Tatum played great. Marcus Smart played great. Their defense, they had Smart and Horford back for game two. They both missed game one. That was obviously a big difference for Boston. And then Miami just had like no answers at all. Like Boston's defense was completely locked in game two. Couple of uncompetitive games. I kind of figured game two would go that way. Actually, I told my friend that like I didn't think it would be a blowout, but I did think Boston would win just because getting Smart and Horford back, they're obviously big additions to that team. And we saw in the Sixers series where when Embiid came back, it's like you just got to adjust to these guys. No offense to Peyton Pritchard, and they had Grant Williams playing a lot of Al Horford's minutes. Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams are not Al Horford and Marcus Smart. So the way you attack them is going to be much different than the way you attack Smart and Horford. And it flustered Miami, and they just had no answers for it. I do expect them to adjust. I do expect them to be better in game three, but we shall see. I still favor Boston in the series. I'm still going with them. I do think it'll be a long series though. Just give me some competitive games. Just give me competitive games. That's all I'm asking for.
I'm hoping that, you know, Mavs and Warriors will be competitive for the rest of their series. But I don't know. I kind of feel like the Miami-Boston series is going to be very similar to the Phoenix and Dallas series, where one team is going to dominate the other. That's just going by the first game. Like, that game was not competitive after, like, the second quarter. The second quarter, Jason Tatum went off. He had 12 points in the second quarter, and it was just over. Was over after that. That felt like game seven of the Dallas Phoenix series, where it was pretty much over after 24 minutes. So I'm hoping they can give us a couple of close games, but yeah, it's been kind of disappointing the playoffs overall. But I think that I do have faith that Luka's gonna make this Warrior series competitive.
Luka's gotta, I mean, he's gotta adjust to the Warriors defense because it's a lot different than the Suns defense. Guys gotta hit shots. They had, like, they were in it in the first half. It was like a 9-point game at halftime. They just shot very poorly from three on some good looks. And then the second half, it kind of continued, and Luka got completely flustered in the second half. I expect Luka to like turn it around. You know, a lot of these series, they're long. Like, it's game to game. And I don't like overreacting after one game when it comes to this stuff, because I mean, how often do we see that? If you would have looked at Dallas and Phoenix game one, you'd be like, okay, why are we playing this series? It's over. Like, yeah. It's important not to react after one game, because adjustments are made. Guys play differently from game to game. And that's just what happens in the playoffs. And I think Dallas will get back into it. I kind of think the Warriors win game two, though. Like, at home, the Warriors are the better team. I know I picked the Mavericks largely just because I think Luka is special, and I want to kind of just see this run from him. But the Warriors are overall the better team, and when they're playing like they were in game one, they're going to be very tough to beat. So I think Golden State wins game two, though. They're going to need a lot more from Luka, and they're just going to need role players to hit their threes, and that's it's a tough strategy to bank on that. Like, we saw it in Houston for years. It's like, you just need role players to hit their threes, and then you need your star to carry you. And if your star is not completely carrying you and your guys aren't hitting your threes, you're doomed. And they were doomed.
Yeah, it does feel like the James Harden Houston Rockets with the Mavs, even though I have more faith in like the Dinwiddie and Brunson that they're going to respond in game two. I think game two is going to be a little bit closer, but I also got the Warriors winning. I think this is going to be kind of similar to the Phoenix series, where I feel confident Dallas is going to get some wins on their home court, but not so much as far as, them winning in Golden State. I think Golden State in San Francisco, that Chase Arena, they just seem so dominant. And so they just been running through everybody. Have they lost at home in the playoffs so far? I don't think they have.
They lost. No, they won both games against Denver. They lost a game to Memphis, didn't they? I'm pretty sure they lost a game to Memphis.
Yeah.
No, they went up 3-1 against Memphis.
Yeah, they were up 3-1. I think they have been dominant in San Francisco. So I don't see the Dallas Mavericks beating them there. But Dallas, if they can take care of their home court, the series will go 6 or 7. I said Warriors in 6 on Monday. I'm going to stand by that. I'm not going to react after one game and say the series is over like Pat Beverly, which I have to say, Patrick Beverly needs a check from ESPN. Patrick Beverly, yo, I want Patrick Beverly to be the third man on FMC when we get to ESPN. Oh, it's going to be me, you, and Patrick Beverly, me and Pat Bev hating on Chris Paul. They got to pay
me a lot of money if I'm going to work with Patrick Beverly. And like, they might, but the best part is like, Patrick Beverly slanders Chris Paul and everything, and then all these other players come out and slander Patrick Beverly. So it actually rules. Like Dame's response, where someone's like, what is Patrick Beverly's stats? If someone showed it, it's like 10 points on like decent shooting or whatever. It's like, oh, he actually played pretty well. And Dame's just like, nobody guards him. That's why. Nobody exactly. guards this man. Matt Barnes, JJ Redick are clowning him. It's like, dude, just shut up.
JJ Redick, man, I gotta give this man credit. I'm glad he getting the check from ESPN, because he was shutting a lot of what Pat Bev had to say down. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, that is not the truth. This is what's really going on. Oh man, it was great. Pat Bev already said he wanted to play with the Lakers ace. So he said he wants to play with an all-time great in LeBron James. We're not trading Russell Westbrook for him. We gonna try to get someone a little bit better than that.
Westbrook for Beverly, straight up. I don't think Beverly and Westbrook are playing on the same team regardless, so good luck with that, because I can tell you Westbrook ain't having that one.
No, that's pretty much his claim to fame is injuring Russell
that Westbrook. Is it's not pretty much, that's literally his claim to fame. This man has done nothing else in the league except ruin the best chance OKC had a title. Fuck Patrick Beverly.
No, I don't want Pat Beverly on my Lakers at all. I want him on ESPN as an analyst. Like, I haven't seen this much like unadulterated hatred and like slander of people in such a great time. And he doesn't even answer questions. They legitimately ask him like who's the better team? And he'd be like, what do you mean? What do you mean on offense or defense? He was like, and then he's like, oh, Devin Booker. He's like, Devin Booker hasn't done anything. And he was like, but I view him in the rising stars with Luka and Anthony David, and I mean, Anthony Edwards. And he's like, but he's nowhere near, any of these guys. I was like, then why are you putting him in the same group as them? Like, he's very confusing with his analysis.
Because he's awful. He doesn't have any analysis. He just goes on there and he spews his hot takes. And because he's in the league, people are like, oh, look at this. He's charismatic. He's got great delivery, similar to like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. Like, he's great at that stuff, but he doesn't actually have analysis on anything. No. Like, he's just, he just goes there and spews his hot takes. And that's what they want. That's fine. Like, my issue is that he, you have to reach a certain level, I feel, to do this if you've played in the league and been in the league. Like Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, they're just going to spout their nonsense and people are like, oh, okay, cool. Like Patrick Beverley has been in the league, he's currently in the league, and like when you are just a role player, like he's no more valuable to a team than Matt Barnes was, than JJ Redick was. They are very similar positions. That's the fourth, fifth best guy on a team.
Kendrick Perkins, like those are the
people. Kendrick Perkins has a ring. At least Kendrick Perkins has a ring. But yes,
this is true.
Like you gotta be at a certain level and have certain accomplishments to like say this stuff, especially about certain people like Chris Paul. Like, you say what you want about Chris Paul, but he's still an all-time great player. All right, you can, you can do your choke jokes and everything, but he's still an all-time great player. Shaq is an all-time great. If he wants to call out Dwight Howard and shit, if he wants to call out these guys, I don't always think it's warranted. I don't think Shaq has a lot of great analysis either, but he's super entertaining. But he gets away with it because of all of his accomplishments. Same with Charles Barkley. They're accomplished players, so they get away with it. Where Patrick Beverley, you just can't get away with that because you haven't done it.
But you see all the people you name that are like accomplished players that are doing the analyst role. Those are all on TNT. It's like ESPN gets like the fifth, fourth, the all these role players to be their analysts. Like they can't get, and the only NBA champions they got is Kendrick Perkins and Matt Barnes, and they are they weren't really that important.
To their guys.
Exactly. So it seems like ESPN just gets these type of guys.
Well, that's what ESPN wants, though. They just want these hot take guys. Like, they are so desperate to recreate what they have with Inside the NBA. But the difference is, Inside the NBA, they have guys who won something. They have somebody who holds it together in, and I can't think of his name. Ernie. Like, they have somebody who holds it together in Ernie, while on ESPN, they either have, like, Max Kellerman, who also does, like, his hot takes, and stuff. Like they, the people who try to like host these shows on like First Take and stuff, they also want to get their opinions in. Ernie doesn't. Ernie just, he lays out a lot and lets those guys just be themselves and like has great chemistry and plays off of them well. Like ESPN is just so desperate to like recreate that, but they're not getting stars at that level. And then they don't care because this is why they pay Bad Dog Russo and Skip. I think Skip's on for Fox Sports, but Stephen A. and all these guys now, like they just, this is what they want. They just want hot takes and it works for them. It works. It sucks. It's awful. I hope JJ Redick graduates to TNT. He's so much better than ESPN. ESPN or JJ Redick deserves better.
Yeah, JJ is the type that I do agree. He probably needs to be on like TNT. He would feel more at home than the people he's around at ESPN. He actually gives good analysis. He explains himself very well. I think and his podcast is really good too. I've listened to his podcast. Yeah. That's really good stuff. Draymond Green is the type that I think that in the future he might be one of the guys that's over on TNT though. He's really his podcast is really good.
Yeah, he's 100% going to TNT. I think Wade is going to go to TNT as well. I mean, maybe because he's the Jazz part owner of like the Jazz now. Maybe there's conflicting interests there. But if he wants the TNT job at some point, I think he'll get it. Yeah, Draymond, he's very insightful. I'm not the biggest Draymond fan, like as a player, because he's kicking people in the dick and everything, and he's super annoying. But like he's very insightful on his podcast and he's good. And Draymond is a guy who, and he's accomplished stuff. And I do think he can be level-headed when it comes to like his analysis of players. Once he's out of the league, and everything. And he's not just going to completely go off and just give a bunch of hot takes. I do think we'll get it a little bit because it is what kind of sells. Like Ashok says, do people pay attention to hot takes for ratings or no? They do. Like
they
people
do.
People love the Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith stuff. They absolutely love it. I personally, like when I'm watching the shows, you either got to be entertaining, like Charles and Shaq and Kenny and EJ, like on Inside the NBA, or I want like actual analysis on the thing. And I'm not saying Skip and Steven like aren't entertaining, they are, but they I've just become so numb to like what they actually say is like, okay, cool. Like I don't know if they actually believe this kind of stuff. And I don't know if Charles and Shaq believe a lot of stuff they say either.
No.
But at least they have like a self-awareness to like put or to self-awareness to like understand that sometimes they're just being stupid and they get ripped on for it. Like they 100% get called out for it. And Skip and Stephen A and Shannon and all these guys, if they get called out, they just go on defensive and start yelling even louder and everything. Well, Barkley and Shaq will just laugh and just be like, I probably said that. Fuck it. Whatever. Like that's what makes them charming as well. Like, man, the hot take stuff works. I'll do it on this show as a bit and for fun. But when I'm watching, you know, these paid professionals and shit, it's not something I enjoy watching.
Yeah, and I think that's why Skip is the better of the two now that Skip and Stephen A have separated, because he's with someone who's just incredibly entertaining in Shannon. And Shannon is 100% in his bias when it comes to like basketball. He bleeds purple and gold just like me. So I enjoy Shannon and Skip's dynamic. Stephen A, he just doesn't know how to get along with anybody, and that's why it's kind of like that, and that's why they have the revolving door that they do over on First Take. But this tells you just how much these NBA playoffs, these first three games of the conference finals is going, because we've spent more time talking about Allen talking about the talking heads on ESPN and TNT more than we've been talking about these three games. So hopefully by the time we come back next week, the games will be better, so we have more to talk about from the NBA.
Just give me one good game. Just give me a good game tonight. All right. Just do it. Please, 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 please. Give me a good basketball game. That's all I want. Playoffs have sucked. The last week has been awful.
The conference finals and the game sevens from Sunday, it's not been the best week when it comes to NBA playoffs, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I think the Dallas and Golden State series, that's going to get better. I think tonight's game is going to be closer than game one. And like I said, I think that series is going to go six. I think Miami and Boston, it's just been a very defensive series where one team is shutting down the other in like the first half, and the game is pretty much over by the second half. So, yeah, I'm hoping that those games get closer as well. But I have more faith in the Dallas and Golden State, because there's more stars, there's more firepower from Luka, from Steph, Clay, that we're going to get some, you know, good scoring games. But I don't know about the Eastern Conference. It feels like the Eastern Conference finals from like 2004 more than it does in 2022.
And this series is always going to be a rock fight. Like, it was just always going to be like a defensive struggle.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And then if one team kind of got hot from three, then it could be a little a bit out of hand. And so far, that's what we saw last night with Tatum taking over and Boston shooting the ball very well. Because both teams are good defensively. I'll take a defensive struggle. Like, I'll take an 85 to 83 game. Just give me a close game. That's all I want. I don't care if it's a low scoring close game and the basketball is not pretty or anything. Just give me the final 5 minutes that matter in a game. That's all I'm asking for. I mean, a final 5 minutes that matter, because I can't remember. It's been at least a week since we've had a game where the final 5 minutes matter. It was like last Wednesday with the Bucks and Boston with Jrue Holiday making those plays. That was the last time that the final 5 minutes in a game mattered. Like last Wednesday or Thursday, whatever game, whenever that game was, game five, when the Bucks won. That was the last time I felt like crunch time mattered in the NBA playoffs. So that's annoying.
That's actually very true, because the last two games of I think game six between Memphis and Golden State, that was close for a lot of it. It was just Golden State pulled away in the fourth quarter. But yeah. The closeout game for Sixers and Heat, that was a wash. The last two games of Boston and Milwaukee, that was a wash. And then we already have talked about Dallas and Phoenix. It just was one team dominating the other. So hopefully we have more positive things to say about the NBA, and we don't have to put the NBA playoffs has been trash in our title.
Have been trash. I got a PowerPoint presentation to do.
That's what I've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. It's about that time. About that time for anyone who's new to the show. Let me explain what's going on here. At the beginning of the NBA playoffs, my dear friend, Jeremy Dan Lambert, he was so confident in the Phoenix Suns being the team to make it to the NBA playoffs. You know me, I still stand by the fact that the Phoenix Suns shouldn't have never made the NBA playoffs last season. And I do want to also
mention the finals. They were the two seed. You can't say they shouldn't have made the playoffs last season.
They should have never made the finals. Yes, the finals. I'm going overboard. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to mention that Cameron Payne. Thank you so much for your comment saying that. Oh, Phoenix had all these injuries. They had Stags, Chris Paul with the quad injury. Ayton was hurt. Booker was hurt. So it wasn't a fair series against the Dallas Mavericks. Thank you so much, Cameron Payne, because you made my argument for why y'all beat the Los Angeles Lakers last year. So yes, they should have made the NBA playoffs last season, but Jeremy Lambert, he was so confident they were going to make it this season that he said that they wouldn't lose five games before the NBA finals. And I took the bet. I took the bet. It was we got to give credit to JJ. He came up with the PowerPoint presentation bet where the other person would have to do a PowerPoint presentation about the other person's favorite basketball team. So of course, mine the Los Angeles Lakers, Jeremy the OKC Thunder. And then we elevated the bet even more. We said we're going to do a PowerPoint presentation on not just the other person's favorite team, but the other person's MVP candidate. Jeremy Lambert, the two-time NBA regular season MVP, Jokic, Nikola Jokic, the Joker. Yeah, congratulations. You got it when you were sitting at home. And Joel Embiid, the real MVP, the guy who should have won it last year. See, we're still going back to last year. Still last year he should have won it if it wasn't for injuries, but he should have won it this year. But that's besides the point because we're about to hear a PowerPoint presentation on both of these things. But even before we got to the five losses for the Phoenix Suns, Jeremy tried to put me on the spot saying that because Booker got injured in the first round that I had to give him one more win and that it would be six losses before they get to the NBA Finals. And I took the bet because I'm no coward. He called me a coward if I didn't accept the bet. And I accepted the bet. And the Phoenix Suns are not even in the conference finals. So I won the bet. And we are here, ladies and gentlemen, for a special episode of FMC with Jeremy Lambert with a PowerPoint presentation on the Los Angeles Lakers and why they are great, why they will win some NBA titles in the next few years, and why Joel Embiid should be our NBA regular season MVP. It's a great day. It's SP3 week. It's the Friday of SP3 week. Jeremy Lambert, take it away.
I'm going to tweet this. I hope this works because I don't know how slideshows work in StreamYard. So I saved it as like a PDF and I think I'm just going to like open frame by frame. I'm pretty sure I'll figure out a way for this work, but as usual, when it comes to this stuff, I've not tested this at all. I'm doing my PowerPoint presentation on why Joel Embiid should have won MVP and why the Lakers will win the next 10 titles. Not really the next 10, but here we go. Let me share this with everybody. It does do slides on this. Oh, from Google Slides.
Let's go. Let's go.
This actually seems like it'll work pretty well. All right, here we go. Open. Clearly, I've never used all right, here we go, everybody. Add to stream. Oh, let me take off the overlay here. All right. Joel Embiid, the real MVP.
Okay, right. But not really. Not really.
Next slide. Head-to-head, and their only head-to-head matchup, Embiid and the Sixers lost by 4 to Jokic and the Nuggets. Embiid had 34 points, Jokic had 22 points. Since points are all that matter in basketball, the team with the most points wins, Embiid won the head-to-head. So see, Embiid head-to-head against Jokic, he outscored him. Thus, he should have won the MVP. They only played once. Embiid was hurt the other game, so you can't really count that. But, you know. Points are all that matter, right? You can't win unless you score the most points, right? SP3, the team with the most points wins. So
this is true.
Embiid beat him head to head in points. Based on that, Embiid should be the MVP. That's my biggest argument for Joel Embiid. And that if it came down to a one game series, Embiid won the one game series. And thus he should have won the MVP. Help. Agreed. The Los Angeles Lakers did not make the playoffs. If Joel Embiid was on the Lakers, they would have made the playoffs. Carrying the Lakers to a playoff spot is MVP worthy. LeBron James couldn't do it. If Jokic was on the Lakers, they would have make the play, or they would have missed the playoffs. Jokic and Westbrook don't get along. Shit, Embiid and Westbrook don't get along. LOL, the Lakers traded for Westbrook.
This is not right. This is why are we talking about the Lakers and our Joel Embiid?
I'm telling you that Joel Embiid. I'm telling you that Embiid would have helped the Lakers to the playoffs. I've combined the two topics here. SB3. It's all gonna come full circle in the end. All right, you gotta trust me. You gotta trust me here that I'm not that I took this very seriously and I'm making a good case for all of this stuff. All right, Embiid would have helped the Lakers make the playoffs while Jokic wouldn't have, even though nobody gets along with Russell Westbrook. Okay? They would have put their differences aside. It would have been fine. Everything would have been fine. Don't worry about it. Save your questions to the end. Numbers. Embiid averaged 30.6 points per game, which was first in the NBA, 11.7 rebounds, which was 6th, 4.2 assists, career high, 1.1 steals, career high, 1.5 blocks, which is 12th, shooting 49.9% from the field, 37.6% from the three-point line. People like numbers. They make you look smart. You don't need context of these numbers. They're just numbers. Look at all these great numbers. What do they actually mean? I don't know, but like he led the league in scoring.
He
led the league in scoring. Yes. The average double-digit rebounds, good enough for six. Career high in assists, 4.2. How does that compare to Embiid or Jokic? Who cares? It was a career high for Embiid. 1.1 steals, also a career high. A lot of blocks, 12th in the NBA. Shot well from the field. 37% from three was actually kind of shocked to me. But yeah, numbers. SP3, people love it. People love using numbers. Hi, she's here to see my great presentation.
Yeah, she says she wants to see the PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, people just love numbers. You just throw numbers. You don't need context to these numbers. Just love it. Hi.
She's like, I'm here to make it better. I'm here to make this PowerPoint presentation better. Yes.
Hi. Do you have any questions about these numbers, SP3? I feel like I made a good argument for Embiid and these great numbers he has put up.
These are immaculate numbers, and it makes the case that he should be the MVP.
Yeah, just great, great, great numbers for Joel Embiid. Harden. Embiid had to play with Harden. It actually works in his favor because, LOL, James Harden, not even the Lakers were dumb enough to trade for him. James Harden is washed, all right? Embiid, the fact that he carried James Harden that far says a lot. We're going to ignore that Jokic didn't have his second, third best player and that the Nuggets were banged up. Harden, the playing was more of a detriment to Embiid than the Nuggets.
That was my argument. He already had an anchor around his ankle in Doc Rivers, and they gave him another one in James Harden.
Yeah, exactly. So this actually helps Embiid, that playing with James Harden makes his case stronger than the Nuggets not having any good players on their team. So good job, Embiid. You carried Harden, even though it was only part of the season. You carried James Harden into the playoffs, and you only won two games. You only won two games in the second round because Embiid was there, and Harden, unfortunately, still had to play. When Embiid was out, they lost those two games. When he came back, they won two games, and then they still lost two more. But James Harden actually helps the case of Joel Embiid, even though the playoffs have nothing to do with the regular season MVP. Defense. The Sixers had a better defense. No one really cares about defense. There's a defensive player of the year for this reason.
People love defense. Defense wins championships, and that's why Joel Embiid is the better defender than Jokic.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert is going real far as the defensive player of the year in winning championships, isn't he? Yeah, defense is great. People love defense. They have defensive player of the year, SP3. Like, nobody factors in defense when they talk about MVP. No one. Should they? Should they?
Yes. Hey, the defensive player of the year is still in the playoffs while the MVP, quote unquote, is not.
And so is your MVP, quote unquote. He's not in the playoffs either.
It's not his fault he has James Harden and Doc Rivers.
I mean, that's honestly fair. That's honestly fair with Doc Rivers. Looking ahead, the Sixers are going to pay James Harden a lot of money. It's possible Embiid punches him in the face at some point because he can't throw an entry pass. The Lakers will trade for Embiid. Embiid will fix the Lakers, maybe win a real MVP instead of being the most valuable Philadelphian, which is like saying you're the most valuable sewage collector. There's value, but Philly is a trash city. I fixed the Lakers. They're going to trade for Embiid. Embiid's going to come to the Lakers. He's going to help them win the next 10 titles. I've said good things about the Los Angeles Lakers and that Embiid will come there. He'll go to a real town, unlike Philadelphia. I'm putting over Los Angeles here. He'll come to a real basketball town, a town that's actually won something in the NBA, unlike Philadelphia. They won't have to give them this fake MVP award. Most valuable Philadelphian? The fuck is that? What is that? Honestly. I'm sure Rocky has won it for the past. Gritty's probably won this stupid fucking award. Like, that's how valuable, most valuable Philadelphian is. Gritty's like a three-time MVP in Philadelphia. Doesn't
mean
it. But
hey.
Embiid, don't cut me off, SP3. Embiid is going to go to the Lakers. He's going to fix them. He is. LeBron James can throw an entry pass, unlike James Harden. Westbrook will be gone by this point. It'll be fine. You'll have Davis, who can maybe be hurt. You'll have, or maybe play games. You'll have Embiid, who also maybe play games. Actually, now that I think about it, they'll probably both be injured a lot, and the Lakers will still lose, and you'll keep using the injury excuse for everything because that's what Lakers fans love to do. But that's beside the point. You'll have Davis and Embiid. They'll Duncan and Robinson the shit out of the NBA in the modern era, and the Lakers are going to win the next 10 titles thanks to Embiid and Davis, assuming they can stay healthy. They're probably not going to stay healthy, but in this fantasy world that we live in where Joel Embiid has won the MVP this year, Embiid and Davis will stay healthy, and the Lakers will win the next 10 titles. LeBron will be part of it for some of them. They'll get Bronny James Jr. LeBron will go to Adam Silver and somehow rig the lottery to get Bronny James to Los Angeles, whether it's some type of trade or however he's going to do it, some secret agent mission or some shit. I don't know. He'll get it done. He's LeBron James. He finds a way to get the guys that he wants, even though it rarely works out for him. It still, you know, whatever LeBron has to do to make himself feel better about being a terrible GM, he somehow gets it done. The Lakers will win the next 10 titles. That has been my PowerPoint presentation on why the Lakers will be fixed in the next 10 years and why Joel Embiid is the real MVP of the season. You're welcome.
I feel robbed. This was all just a slander campaign devised under a PowerPoint presentation. And I was going to say, and that last part, the only way it makes it good is that the last person who went from Philadelphia to Los Angeles was Will Smith, and he went on to have a successful career. So Joel Embiid will do the same by going from Philadelphia to the Los Angeles Lakers. I agree with that part, but the slander to my Los Angeles Lakers. They couldn't even get their own PowerPoint. This is supposed to be two PowerPoint presentations. You found a way to combine the two and slander both of them at the same time. I want a recount. I want a re-PowerPoint presentation. You screwed me on Wednesday at Political Post. Now you screw me on Friday with this PowerPoint presentation. Oh my goodness, this is ridiculous.
I completed the project. You asked me to do the project of why Embiid should be the MVP. I gave you numbers. I slandered James Harden. I gave you facts and evidence as to why he should. And you asked me to say nice things about the Los Angeles Lakers. And I said they're going to win the next 10 titles thanks to Embiid. So I completed the project, SP3. You don't have to give me a passing grade. I don't really care about
I'm not even pass and fail. You didn't even complete it. I'm giving you an incomplete.
I did complete it. I did.
You get an incomplete.
I completed the project. I turned that shit in. It's all good. This is how I did projects in school. I just did it, completed it. Like here it is.
Oh Jesus!
Like didn't care. C's get degrees. SP3. That's all I need on this project.
This is what I get. This is what I get for asking for a PowerPoint presentation, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a great PowerPoint presentation.
I can't wait for your PowerPoint presentation about Cara Marie and Paulie. Can't wait for that one.
I already have ideas for that one too. Yeah. That was a great PowerPoint presentation. I gave you numbers. Everyone loves numbers.
You gave me numbers with no context. He didn't even want to compare it to Jokic because he feels like Jokic's numbers are better.
Well, you asked me to argue for Embiid, and so I did. If I compared him to Jokic, it would have killed my argument. So you didn't want me to kill my argument, did you? I gave you numbers. I gave you nice things about Embiid. I gave you nice things about the Lakers for the most part. It's all good. I just said they're going to win the next 10 titles because they're going to have Embiid and Davis as the new Duncan and Robinson.
Hey, I would love that. I would love that. Give me Embiid with Davis and LeBron. That's like the dream team.
You'll get about 20 games combined for all three of them.
Will you stop? LeBron can play. LeBron will at least
play. Fine, 25 games.
He'll play 60. LeBron will play 60. That's enough.
No, absolutely not. He's going to be injured even more this season. Davis in
season 20. He's had a whole he's gonna have 3-4 months to get healthy. He's ready.
How come? Why is he gonna have 3 to 4 months to get healthy? What happened this year to where he's gonna have extra time to get healthy?
We have Russell Westbrook. That's what happened, ladies. And we had an old retirement home of other players to combine with that. We were the oldest team in the NBA. That's never a wise decision.
Whose fault was that?
That was LeBron's fault. I'm not gonna take the heat for that. I'm not gonna let Rob Pelinka put together a championship team in 2020, and you saw what LeBron did to that. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous stuff that I have to deal with on this show. I have never been this way on this show. I've never slandered anyone on this show the way Jeremy Lambert just slandered my last episode.
Chris Paul has never had to deal with this type of slander.
No, never. Chris Paul has only had facts being told about him on this show. I agree with Maggie, though. My PowerPoint presentation is going to be about why the OC is the greatest teen soap of all time. That's what I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation on.
That's fair. That's very fair. Yes. All right, I've sent this link to Caden. I'm going to have to yell at Caden because I'll explain on air. We got a graphic for Caden as well, and by the great Romeo of True Heel Heat. He's created a penalty box graphic for us. Hopefully Caden will get the link and pop in here in a second. We are watching Challenge All-Stars 3. We will do our review after the penalty box. How many episodes? I've watched 3 episodes. Is that all? Has there been four?
Okay. No, it's been three.
Then I'm all caught up. Then. All right, Caden is here. Let's pop up the penalty box graphic. We need like music.
Like a hockey shot.
Romeo, cool penalty box graphic. Shout out to Romeo for making the penalty box graphic. Hello, Caden.
Hello, Caden.
Hello.
How are you?
You know, I'm not happy after my Florida Panthers let in a goal with 3 seconds to go in the third period and lost the game.
That was rough. Caden, I'm going to yell at you right fast. All right? Because you're great. I love you. No one fucking bothered me when the Avs are playing. All right? When I'm tweeting, I'm getting frustrations out. I'm just very angry. Here's all the shit that I texted I got to text my friend because I'm afraid to tweet because people like Caden want to tweet me and be like, oh, it's okay. Or this is the same. Or I don't know what you're tweeting me, Caden. I'm just annoyed by it. I'm annoyed by anybody that tweets me during the game. Don't talk to me when I got to turn my I got to turn my mentions off when I tweet this stuff. I'm just tweeting to be frustrated. No one bothered me when I'm tweeting. Don't respond to this. Like the tweet. That's fine. Give me a little bit of engagement with the like. Don't respond to me. Don't DM me, Caden. Don't do that either. Just don't talk to me. All right? Nobody talk to me. The fiance has learned I'm going to bed. I'm not going to be around you. I'm going to bed. And she's very smart in that because she knows I won't yell at her. I love her. But she knows that like I get very agitated with this stuff. And she's like, I'm not dealing with your dumbass getting this mad about sports. I'm going to bed. She's very smart with that. Here's what I texted my friend. People remember I texted him a lot.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
During game two of the first round, a game they actually won. Fuck the playoffs. Avs absolutely don't have it tonight. It's obvious their goalie is going to stop everything and they aren't really creating good chances. Now the refs have decided to make every call after not calling anything. Both Blues goals have gone off sticks. Have gone off the six of our own guys and in just terrible luck on top of everything. I hate hockey. Shitty basketball game and shitty hockey game. Your predictions suck. My friend told me the basketball game would be close and the Avs would be winning in a blowout. My friend's a fucking moron for these predictions. All right? Don't bother me during the Avs game. You see how agitated I am after the game after. I'm going to miss Saturday's game because I'm going to be watching Eddie Kingston kick the shit out of people at AIW, but I'm going to miss Saturday's game and I'm already agitated about that too. Caden, you're great. I appreciate everything you do. Nobody bothered me when the Avs are playing. Just let me tweet. Let me vent. Don't talk to me.
Well, let's talk about the
great
Avs.
Great chat,
then.
Guys. No, let's not talk about the Avs.
No, I'm gonna go right into the Avs. So the St. Louis Blues will be playing Gloria this morning after the Colorado Avalanche lost 4-1 to the St. Louis Blues. It was pretty close up until
It wasn't fucking close. We got dominated all game. We played like shit. Nathan MacKinnon is even like, we played like shit. We just didn't have it tonight. You could tell from the opening. I know this team. You could tell from the first period how they're going to play. They did not have it. They looked like shit 5-on-5. The forecheck got to them. They just could not get anything right. Absolutely dominated. They got lucky in a power play goal to make it 2-1 in the third period and then fine. But then you could just, and then the Blues scored shortly after that. They did not have it last night. The game was not close. Bennington is 2019 Bennington. It's terrible, awful. I don't know what's wrong with Cale Makar. Nathan MacKinnon disappears in the second round. I don't know what the fuck happens to him when the second round comes around. Mikko Rantanen, it'd be cool if you showed up. Mikko Rantanen, where the hell are you? Nazem Kadri actually isn't suspended this year, but he may as well be with the way he's playing right now. I don't know what the fuck's happening with this team. It was not close. Blues in five.
All right, let's move on to the Panthers and the Lightning. I already complained about this a little earlier. The Tampa Bay Lightning scored with 4 seconds to go to make it a 2-1 game against the Florida Panthers, and that's my Panthers on my team. We're now down 2-0. Panthers absolutely dominated Tampa in most of the game other than like the first period. In the second and third, they were completely dominant, had 8 more shots in total. The Panthers should have won this game, but this is another example of the Panthers' top guys not being able to do anything. Like in the first round, Barkov's disappearing, Ekblad's disappearing, Mackenzie Weegar needs to be benched. I don't care.
Yeah, like, he was horrible.
He was good in the regular season, but like, get him out of here. Nope, get him out immediately. I want him gone. I want him off this team. I want him traded. I want Mackenzie Weegar off this team if we lose the playoffs because of him. I want him out of this team immediately. He sucks. He's overrated as hell.
That's fair. That play last night, him going behind the net, wasn't good.
Why do you go behind the net to puck chase when there's 4 seconds left in the game? And both Ben Sherratt's back there too.
Yeah, Ben Sherratt sucks. That was a bad trade.
Ben Sherratt, we spent the first round on him. And I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan. That's my number one team. Panthers are number two. So, like, I'm happy with getting the first rounder for Ben Sherratt. But Ben Sherratt is not worth the first rounder. He's kind of not great.
He's not great at all. What other series are there? I don't even know. The Battle of Alberta was really good. That was a 9-8 game, whatever it was, 9-6.
So it was 6-9. Nice. Yeah. Oilers and Flames. That was a very high scoring game. It was 5-0 after like 4 minutes. Yeah. I believe like it was pretty crazy. And then Edmonton scored like 5 in a row. And then Calgary got 3 more. It's fun to see the high scoring games, especially in the Battle of Alberta. it's been a while since we've had one of the playoffs. So that's it's a fun series to watch. If anybody's going to watch a playoff series, that's the one. It's going to be awesome.
And Carolina and New York, they went to overtime in game one. I love me some overtime. I thought New York, at least for the first couple of periods, were the better team. Then the Canes decided, all right, we're going to play hockey now. And they won. It's a fun series. Who gives a fuck about the playoffs? Everything sucks.
Yeah, that was an overtime game. It's been pretty close. That game was pretty close overall. Everything's pretty evenly matched. And I don't really care about that series mainly because I was at AEW that night, so I was not watching, and I just really don't care about either of those teams. But Battle of Alberta's fun.
Do you have anything to plug, Caden? Are you going to annoy me some more on Saturday?
Probably.
I'm not tweeting about the game on Saturday. I'll be at a wrestling show. It's going to be very bad because I'll be looking at my phone, and the fiance is going to be like, can you not check your phone every 5 minutes to check the score? And I'm going to be like, absolutely not. Stop. You can watch the wrestling if you would like. There's a professional playoff hockey game going on. So I'm going to actually think the show will be over by the time the game ends, so I can get home and watch the end of it. Don't annoy me. All right. If you see me tweet about hockey, everybody, while the game is going on, just ignore me. Just let me tweet. Let me work through it. All right. Just don't annoy me. I will block you. I threaten to block Caden. I don't even know what your GIF was about. I will block you if you just annoy me and tweet at me.
My GIF was Gloria.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that meant.
You don't like remember in 2019 when the Blues won the Stanley Cup? They were playing Gloria.
I should get out of here, Caden. I should have blocked you for that. Honestly, I've blocked people last playoffs. I 100% block people. People I like, people I've done shows with. I don't care. Don't talk to me about it during the playoffs. Just don't tweet me during this stuff. Just let me tweet into the void. So I text my friend. Everyone on Twitter is annoying. Do you want to plug anything, Caden?
Yes. 10 Count Wrestling on YouTube. Head over there. I did my own sour grap edition of AEW Dynamite because I was very sour after AEW and Rampage. I was not happy.
Go follow Caden on Twitter where he plugs all his stuff as well. Thank you, Caden. You're going to get blocked on Saturday. I don't like hockey, SV3.
No, man.
It's the worst sport in the world.
This is like the best 10 to 15 minutes of this show every week, ladies and gentlemen, because I have no rooting interest at all. I don't even have a team to hate on like I do with the NBA when the Lakers are around. I don't have any team to hate on. I just enjoy Jeremy getting so stressed and ranting. It's great. It's great stuff.
It's so bad. I turned the game off at 3-1 last night because you know your team. You just know. You know when it's not going well. But like at 1-0, it's like, okay. At 2-0, it was 2-0 after the second period. So it's like, all right, sure. And then they made it 2-1, like 2 minutes into the third. So it's like, all right, well, there's a little bit of hope, at least on the scoreboard. But you could just tell that it's not going their way. But it's hockey. One shot can change anything. And then it became 3-1. And I was like, yeah, it's over. I started watching Entourage. I was like, fuck this game. Like, I know it's over. And then it became 4-1. And I was like, well, good. I'm glad I turned it off. Oh, dude, playoffs are so stressful. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I apologize to Caden. You're great. I apologize to anybody I get mad at. But I'm also warning everybody. Just ignore my tweets when I'm tweeting during the game. Just ignore it. All right?
Don't tweet out to the void.
Yeah, just this is why I text my friend because I just read my text. Like, it's a lot worse if I actually tweeted what I want to tweet. I try to be very diplomatic on things when I'm tweeting this stuff of like, oh, you know, well, we got to do this, this, and this. It's fine. Really, I'm screaming internally like, fuck all of this. Like, these rants are what I actually feel. What else do we have to talk about? We're not. This is not a wrestling show. A shock. We don't talk about wrestling here. Yeah, what else do we have to talk about? You want to talk about the challenge?
You can check out True Hill Heat tomorrow. We'll talk about it. But the challenge. All Stars 3.
Send this link to our pal Cher Delaware. And we might have to talk about wrestling with this fucking awful tattoo she has gotten. Just. Did you see this thing?
I saw the picture. I saw the picture from like afar, like scrolling. I didn't really click on it. And then I saw other tweets from her, like, you know, referencing it. So I went back and then I actually saw it. I was like, dedication.
When did she message me? She messages me on Saturday and has the drawing of it and is like, I need to show you the very bad but very funny thing I'm doing. And she shows me the picture, and I know it's a tattoo drawing. And I'm just like, are you high? Like, did you take an edible? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, did you do it? And she's like, not yet. And then she showed it. She tweeted it yesterday. And I just was like, you got to be stopped. You're a monster. Like, what is happening? What is wrong with you? Just bad decisions. People, I understand people make bad decisions, but she was warned. She was warned by me. I'm sure she was warned by Sean.
I was about to say, did Sean warn her?
she has friends. Like, she has friends who tried to prevent this, and she still went forward with it. I don't get it. I don't get it, SV3. She's committed. Look, I love a good bit commitment. That's very far. I will have one of the kids draw a Cody tattoo on my neck. I will not actually. I'll get one of those temporary tattoos when WWE releases.
When they drop those, yeah, I'm going to get one. Just to piss off wifey. as far as the Challenge All Stars 3, you saw episode 2 and 3.
Yes, I'm completely caught up.
All right. So, episode 2, what did you think?
So episode 2 was the swing set thing, right? Yeah, that one. So Tina! Tina. Oh man, that was bad. So the sabotage was like they had to start late, and then Wes used it on Jordan, and who was Sylvia used it on? Who, Kendall?
Who did she use it on? Either Kendall or Kellyanne, I think she did.
Yeah, Kendall or Kellyanne, one of the two.
Yeah, it was Kellyanne, because Kellyanne had to wait, and then she got pissed off because she couldn't figure out what the star
was. She couldn't do the puzzle. Kellyanne just garbage at puzzles. The sabotage went down with that. I gotta pull up the wiki, because I don't remember episode. I watched episode 3 like over the weekend, and I watched, or episode 2 over the weekend, and then I watched episode 3 just last night, so that one was much more fresh.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
All right, so the winners of last night's game are, okay, here we go.
It was Yes
out of reach. Kendall. Yeah, Yes and Kendall. Yeah, Yes and Kendall won. And then Jonna, Kayla, Jordan, Brad were the authority. And then so Tina, because she just did absolutely nothing, and Letarian were the last place people in this one. And then they voted in Melinda and Mark. And unfortunately, Melinda got hurt. Her ankle was still bothering her. She could barely go down the steps. And she couldn't compete. And then Mark, this is a big move to throw in Mark. And this is where, yes, like people were starting to be like, and at least Wes was like, oh, Yes plays a different game than y'all think he's playing. He ain't this nice guy anymore.
I knew because I you know, I appreciate the stuff he does, the entrepreneurial work, the charity work, great stuff. But I peeped game from All Stars 1 when he went on the whole, you know, I don't judge people based on the history that I had with them. I base it on our, you know, day to day when we wake up in the morning and we have coffee and tea together. And then he got everybody to vote for Nehemiah. Like, I knew Yes is a snake. He's a snake in the grass, and I'm sick of people. I see people hating on Wes on social media, like, oh, Wes is basically like Josh was in Total Madness. No, Yes is after Wes. There's a difference here.
Cher, before we go back to the challenge here, we were burying you for your life decisions, in particular, your tattoo that you got.
I have made Wrestling Twitter very angry. I've been called a cunt.
That's not nice. What? People suck.
People, oh God.
And I'm like, everyone keeps being like, they should be straight and smooth. And I'm like, how do your fingers look? Because that would look like a fucking hot dogs. Like, yeah. It would just look like hot dogs. My fingers are not straight and smooth. So, and it's gloves. But I'm like, who cares? Like, why are you this concerned about what someone else did? It's not like it's something offensive. So.
Right. I'm just burying you because I tried to tell you not to do this.
And you did.
You just went ahead and did it anyway. I did say that I appreciate your commitment to the bit. Like you know, I love a good bit commitment, and you are 100% like even more than that committed to this. So bless. Like, don't be mean to Cher, everybody.
No.
We're allowed to be mean. We're her friends. It's all good fun. Don't be an actual dick.
Yeah, like, and I mean, like I said, that's not even like top 10 worst life decisions that I've made.
Everyone wants to know about the shed.
He lives in a shed.
Yeah, I don't know what more there is to say about it.
He didn't have anywhere to live, and these people that he barely knew let him move into their shed, and he lives there for free.
It's a good deal if you can get it, honestly. Free living.
Just to be clear, there's no heating or cooling. His electricity is ran on extension cords from the house, and he's 30 years old.
It's free. It's free, though. Why won't the super chat function is not working? That's not good. We want money.
Yeah, we want money.
Yeah.
Alan Weinstein, I think he's related to Weinstein from Entourage. He's got money, so let's fix the super chat function.
You can go to humperchats.com and maybe that'll work if you'd like to do that. Please, if you want to send us money, you can just PayPal me directly if you would like as well. I'll take that if you want to do that. My PayPal is generally. Do I need to kick your kids in the head, Cher?
They just get louder and louder and louder.
Oh, yeah. I was telling SB3, like, I think we're going to have to move the show, not next week, but the following week. We're going to have to move days because the EP is going to be working and then I'll be at home with the kids and there's just no way they're going to give me like an hour and a half of peace and quiet while I'm trying to do this show. They're just going to be screaming the entire time. And this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have to kick them in the head and I'm going to get really in trouble if I kick them in the head.
Yeah.
Get really in trouble. So
don't get in trouble for the show.
Okay, so you don't like Yes, which understandable. In the arena, whatever it's called, they did, so it's Lights Out, where they're just on two opposite ends of the pole. You got to push it, hit the button. Letarian tries to run. I don't know what he was actually thinking. He should have probably just played the stall game a little bit more.
Yeah,
but he tries to run. I do love the editing on this, where they made it super dramatic and made it seem like he had a chance on this thing. And then Mark is just like,
Mark got pulled thanks. The opposite way by like an inch, so it did look like he could have made the come up. But man, like, why does Letarian always get the short end of the stick? He either has to go against Mark or Nehemiah in these eliminations, and he can never win.
No. And Mark won, and that was the end of Letarian. And then, Melinda went home for the women because she got injured.
No, because Melinda and Tina can never face each other in elimination.
My draft list is not looking so great.
Yeah, so, okay.
What do you have left there?
I don't know.
Letarian's gone. That's out for Cher. And then Melinda is also gone. I had Melinda, so that's not looking good for me either. We're not doing well, Cher. Like, you and I both have two people eliminated. SB3 has nobody eliminated.
What? No, I think this last episode.
Well, yeah, three. I'm saying through two episodes.
Yeah.
Through two episodes.
Yeah. Through two episodes.
Through two episodes, Cher and I have two eliminated. SB3 has none. So episode three, the challenge is basically just mud wrestling, and you try to get the ball. We see alliances starting to get formed. The treehouse is formed with all the terrible competitors and Derek as part of it. It's not. They're all against Kendall and Kellyanne, the treehouse. And Kayla and Brad win this challenge because they basically just handed the thing to Kayla because they were fine with it. John A., Sylvia, Derek, and Jordan form the authority. MJ, because he had a bum knee, got last, and then Veronica.
Does a candle? Gloss over that. Clendon yes. with the sabotage.
No, yeah, I was going. I was going on the sabotage. So Kendall and Yes got the sabotages, and Wes what got the sabotage from Yes, and then Kendall could not decide. She did ask, like, "Hey, can I give it to a male?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." Like, that was big information. It doesn't have to be female sabotage. And she's also like, "Can I give it to myself?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." Jordan is like, "You could just give it to me. Like, it's fine." And she's like, "I'm gonna go MJ." And that, of course, pisses off MJ. That pisses off John A. And not a good decision by Kendall. Bless Kendall. Love her. Not a good decision here. Just pissed off the entire that side of the house.
And that's the people that she's, like, supposed to be cool with and have some type of alliance with. It's just, like, that wasn't wise at all. Especially when Jordan's like, "Give me the sabotage. Just give it to him."
I feel like Kendall is just too nice to be able to do the politics of the game well, because she just wants to be friends with everybody. She doesn't understand why people are so mean to her, because she's not mean to them. So they all, like, every season now, they all team up against Kendall, and she just doesn't understand why, and they're gonna continue to do it because she's a good competitor, and she just isn't, like, in there with anybody. So I hate that for her. But yeah, that was not a smart decision, because John A was like, John A was like the one girl that wasn't against her, and then she made an enemy of John A, who is back with her husband, by the way.
Yikes.
Hope he's not watching this season.
Yikes. Yes, I see Alex in the chat. Don't mess with John A's hookup. Like, I love how they, like, go around it. They don't want to say it up front, because I think they did know that John A was in this weird situation with her husband. But, like, they basically, like, hit us over the head with the fact that these two are, like, hooking up or doing something when they're on the show together.
You guys, they were just teammates last season. And one, that is their connection. Stop making it more out than it needs to be, okay?
I would never.
All right, you guys are just, you're looking for drama when it ain't there. ALW, I got your Humber chat. We'll read it after our review of stuff. But I do have it. We appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the support. You guys are trying to create drama. I don't like that. I don't like this drama creation by SV3 and Cher.
Just call it like we see it.
Yeah, so Veronica and MJ get last place. Kendall and Cyrus get voted in. Before we get to the elimination, Jimmy goes home. Her dad's not doing well. That's unfortunate. I hope everything. I don't know. Cher, you probably know. Like, is he okay?
Like, she posted on Twitter a couple days ago that he is doing better, but she wanted to wait until, like, she knew that he was doing better before she acknowledged it. But she did say that he is doing better.
Oh, that's good.
That's good news.
As far as, you know, on a personal level, glad he's doing better. On a game level, Jimmy is absolutely no loss. It is a loss for Cher, because
for the treehouse. For the treehouse, too.
For the treehouse.
She was a loss for me when I drafted her.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So another person gone off of Cher's list. No. Please don't tell me who the replacement is. I do not know. I do not want to know. I don't like spoilers. Please do not spoil anything from this show ever, Alex. We love that you're a challenge fan, and I saw you said you interviewed Yes. That's awesome. Please, nobody ever spoil anything.
Can we also talk about the Yes and Wes interview?
Yes. Where Yes. Yes, we can.
That was, it felt like, you know, a buddy cop movie a little bit, because Yes, you could clearly tell that Yes came into this with bad intentions. And that's saying something when it's Wes on the other hand, and Wes is not the person coming into a conversation with bad intentions. But Yes, he was already made up in his mind that he was going to give the sabotage to Wes, but he's talking to him like, "Oh, what if I give you the sabotage?" Like, get the hell hell out of here. Like, I don't understand anyone. Like, I understand if you are a fan of Yes, you like him as a person. Like I said, he's done a lot of good things as an entrepreneur with charities, building houses. He's done great stuff. So I understand if you're a fan of him like that. I don't understand if how you could favor Yes in this whole situation with Wes, because everything he says about Wes is the pot calling the kettle black in this situation.
It really is. It really is. Like, I'm definitely not the Wes fan that SV3 is. Yes ain't doing himself any favors with the way he's talking and the way he's actually playing the game. He's not helping himself here.
And then he got on Nehemiah's bad side during the game. Yeah. Because
Nehemiah was like, not happy about that, the way he was playing that game. Nehemiah's ready to throw hands.
I'm going to blow up some steam before I whoop somebody's ass.
Nehemiah was ready to throw hands with him in the middle, in the game, because he thought Yes was playing a little bit dirty. It's mud wrestling. Come on now. Honestly, like, I thought Nehemiah was being like, come on. What do you expect from that? You're trying to go after the ball. You got to wrestle it around. What is Nehemiah expecting to that? Okay. I'm not fully on Yes's side with that, but I also thought Nehemiah was just being a little too much with that, trying to fight off of that. But Alex said, I think they showed it on a preview. Here's the thing. I don't watch the like preview stuff. I turn it off before that. When I'm watching like shows with the fiance, I will like earmuff myself. I will like hum to my, close my eyes, because she likes watching the like next week on stuff. I don't like watching any of that shit. I hate the previews. So I earmuff, close my eyes, and like hum to myself so I don't see anything. And she's got to like tap me when it's over, because she likes watching. She thinks it's hilarious. And it's like, why? They don't like showing it. I don't care. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't want to know the slightest spoiler on anything. So even if they did show it on a preview, like, I have not seen it because I do not watch the previews. Maybe it was Nehemiah just wants his screen time. I like Nehemiah. I thought he was just a little bit like, really? You're going to fight the dude because he's mud wrestling in a mud wrestling contest? Like, what are you under? We get to the arena game. Veronica's not hurt. Tina hurt her hand in the mud wrestling thing. She said it afterwards that like her finger was messed up, and so she like just popped it back into place and she thought she was fine, but then she actually went to the doctor and they found out she had a broken hand. So she's out the game. So we have lost Melinda, Tina, Jimmy to non-eliminations. They're all gone. We've lost all of them. We will get a replacement next week, but SV3, this is your first loss here, losing Tina in your draft. I don't like when people get injured and we don't get eliminations. Like, it sucks. I think it really sucks.
Yeah, we've only got one elimination in the last 2 weeks because of, like, injuries and people going home. And, you know, this pissed off a lot of people because they all plotted against Kendall to put her in, and then there's no elimination. So,
yeah, it wasn't good. Cher?
Oh, I agree fully, because they had that whole plan. And then it was just like, and there you go. Now Tina's gone. But I mean, was that really a loss? Because I mean, we saw what Tina did last season.
It's a loss for numbers, like, because now Jimmy and Tina are gone. Yeah, as far as like game, same thing. It's like, okay, she's just gone. Sure.
But all those two were a vote.
Yeah. Which, they're a vote for the weaker competitors, because I don't think Veronica offers too much from like a competitive standpoint either. And now she's lost a couple numbers on her side of the house over there. The women, like, we are losing. All right, next week we got to talk about the replacement, because we got to figure out what this does for our draft here. The replacement could win this whole thing, and then nobody wins.
That's a wrench in the whole situation.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it next week. We'll figure that out. But yeah, only one women's elimination through 3 weeks is annoying. But I will say this. This is what happens in the case of Tina. These people are old. They're just not in shape anymore. They got brittle bones. They got weak skin. They get hurt more often. You can't always be doing these, like, you know, they're trying to do like today's challenges for these people. Like, they can't hold up to that kind of physicality. You got to go back to where they're riding scooters on ramps and everything. You got to go back to carnival games for these people.
Truly, like, the challenges for All Stars are harder than the challenges in the regular challenge.
Yeah.
No,
get away.
The regular challenge has a whole bunch of like puzzles and stuff, but that one, the mud wrestling one, that's harder than most of the. I would say the only challenge in the last couple of seasons that was close to that was that kind of the one where they did like they had to find the pole in the water. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was like the only thing that's close to that. And that was like in Double Agent. So nothing from the past season of the challenge was as hard as this one.
Yeah,
but can we just talk about how Brad made that shit look so easy? Brad was he was like a gazelle just hopping over the mud every single time he was in first place. I peeped that every single time on those three rounds he came in first place so easily.
Knowing Brad, he probably actually trained for that specifically.
Had a mud pit in his backyard. He's like, all right, here we go. I know we're gonna get muddy at some point. Look, man, if he did that, bless him. Honestly, I do want like the return. They gotta do like one season of just like Carnival Games challenges again. Yeah. Just bring that format back where it's just nothing but just goofy Carnival Games, because those early seasons, they're hilarious watching in hindsight, knowing like what the challenge becomes and all how over the top shit becomes. And then yeah, you're just watching them ride scooters on ramps, just doing like the most basic ass puzzles and everything, just like random like easy swimming challenge. Oh, dive underwater and just grab a ring and then come back up.
Yeah.
Where now it's like submerge yourself for 5 minutes and then, you know, and there's sharks around and shit. Instead of just, let's just go to the local YMCA and just dive in, grab one of those rings and come back up with it. That's it.
Yeah. It's like that one that they had in Kendall's original season where she like had to walk. I think it was her and Leah maybe had to walk back and forth on the bar. And Miz was like screaming at her the whole time. Like that was, everyone acted like that was so difficult. They're literally walking back and forth, moving things. Like
so everyone knows, maybe they don't know, but so the kids do field day. I don't know if you guys remember field day. I'm sure you have kids. Like if your kids do field day and stuff. So the kids had field day this past week and we went out there and watched them. So they had like, these are some of the like carny games that I want out of the challenge now. They have like these hula hoops and you just throw like bean bags in the hula hoops and like that's one of the games. They have rock paper scissors, so you go with like these hula hoops and they're this way, they're like a line, so you like jump in the hula hoops and when you meet in the middle you do rock paper scissors, and then if you lose you get eliminated, and so you keep jumping and then the next person goes and jumps, and then when you meet you do rock paper scissors. We need something like that. They had a cornhole relay where you just have to throw it into the thing, and if you get it in the hole, like they just have they have cone flip. You just take cones and you just flip them. You get them all. These are the kind of the carnival games that I want. The games that I was watching at field day. Over the past.
Yeah, I want like hula hoop contests to see who can hula hoop the longest, and jump rope contests.
Yes, yes.
And like, just like ones where they've got to like hold the spoon in their mouth with the egg on it and go like that's the kind of stuff that I want.
That's what we need. We need just.
It would be hilarious because they still do terrible at that stuff.
Great carnival field day games is what I want out of the challenge. So in the arena, MJ got last. They voted in Cyrus. The arena was where you toss these bags into basically a giant like trash bin, and then it goes a dumpster, and then that gets fall down once it gets enough weight. And then drywall is revealed. You hammer through the drywall. You bust through it. You jump through it. You ring your bell. MJ was very confident because he's a contractor. So he's like, oh, I'll bust through this easily. And then Cyrus was kind of confident. He's like, well, I used to play basketball. I'll get the bags in easily. MJ won the bag thing. So he got the advantage there because he was quicker. And then the drywall, I understand what he was doing. He was just like trying to go around it, like pegging around it. And then he thought he'd just like smash it. So just hammer through it. What are you doing?
Cyrus was just too slow. He wasn't good on the uptake. Everybody was like, yo, Cyrus, just jump through because he got through the wall faster. It was like, damn.
Yeah.
But I'm sick of them picking on Cyrus, though.
Come on. MJ could have beat Yes in this challenge. Like, Yes won the first All-Stars. It was the best time to voting. I know this was, everybody was like, oh, I'm not going to let Wes dictate my game. It's not about your game. It's about all the rest of the men. Yes is good at finals. Get him out as soon as possible. This man has never faced an elimination in his whole challenge career.
That's one of the biggest issues that I have seen with All Stars is they're too worried about their friends and not about winning. And that's why so many of them don't like Wes, because Wes doesn't care if you're his friend or not. Wes is there to win always. And like, okay, so your three friends are not good. So why are we worried about like protecting them instead of getting out someone that is good, that will beat all of you?
So Cyrus loses. He's gone. That's a loss for me in the draft. Like most of the people who have been eliminated were final three rounds. The only person who's been eliminated that were taken in the first five rounds was Letarian. Cher took in round three. Otherwise, it's all late round picks. So our top people are still around, but it's not looking good for us, Cher. SP3's got one person lost, and it was fucking Tino, who was never gonna, you know, really do anything. So like, not looking great for us, but it is late round picks. Like our top people are still around, and this shows that, you know, we kind of know what we're talking about. We knew who wasn't gonna do well in this shit. We knew who wasn't gonna go very far. And
I mean, I think I should get more credit for the Tom Brady of our challenge fantasy draft, Sylvia, who was in authority once again. My last pick. Who's been killing it? Oh my God.
She has been doing well, honestly. She has been doing well.
She's 30 years younger than everybody. Of course she is.
That was a good pick. It's a good pick. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the next episode. Any final thoughts? I
picked Tina before.
We did pick Tina. You did pick Tina. I mean, everybody did. Look, Sylvia was second to last. The only person picked after Sylvia was Jimmy, which I think once we saw the lineup, everyone knew Jimmy was getting picked last. So everyone was picking, everyone was gone before Sylvia, outside of Jimmy, who was the obvious last pick. But it's a steal. It's a steal for SP3. He drafted very well. One person lost, and it was due to injury. Not even like an elimination there. It was due to injury.
I haven't been eliminated yet.
That's true. That is very true. Any final thoughts, Cher Delaware?
No, I'm just working.
Work, stupid.
It is.
Tell Sean to give me the day off.
Don't worry, I have to work later too.
Yeah, I'll be on Twitch later. That's gonna be my work. Stream all day.
SP3, are you back in the US yet?
No, I'm still in the UK. Those
prices. How long have you been there now?
3 weeks now. So yeah, wifey got a place out here, so.
Well,
it's no rush. Shit. It's not like I'm playing hotel prices or anything. So,
I do have a semi wrestling question. Cher, are you going to SummerSlam?
I am.
Okay, thank God. Someone I like is actually going. Everyone, it seems like no one's going.
It's just like a 3-hour drive for me. So
yeah, I think it's like 7 hours for us, which is fine. Chicago was roughly the same, so it's not like bad. And I don't mind driving, but like. I ask SB3, ask Will Washington, Connor Casey, who lives in Nashville, is not actually going to be there. None of my friends are going. I don't actually want to go to this thing, but I'm glad you're going. So that gives me more incentive.
There you go.
Yes, I will be there. Sean will be there. Yep.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad some friends are going then. All right. All right, Cher. Thank you for joining us. Don't make any more bad decisions when it comes to tattoos over the next week.
Oh, I know, you know I will.
I know you'll make bad decisions in life regardless, because that's you're fueled by depression, bad decisions, and what else? Dr. Pepper. Yes. There we go. Got it right there.
Listen, I only have 11 and a half months left of my 20s. I have to make all my bad decisions now while it's still acceptable.
That's fair. I can't.
So then everything has to be just perfect after that.
Thanks, Cher. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye, Cher. All right, SV3. We do have a humper chat from ALW. He says, have you already done a review on Winning Time, The Rise of the Showtime Lakers on HBO? If not, can you guys, if so, which episodes can I find it on? It's on HBO Max, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's on HBO Max. We have not reviewed Winning Time. I would like to do that at some point. We still have to get through like our Entourage reviews, which have taken a backseat because we started our challenge reviews, and then there's been plenty of NBA playoffs. We'll probably like hit the Entourage reviews a lot more once the NBA playoffs are over. Challenge reviews are going to be staying weekly, and then like once hockey and NBA playoffs are over, there's just going to be less stuff to talk about as far in the sports world. So we'll probably do more like TV reviews and stuff. So we can throw in Winning Time on that. I know a couple people, like when it first started, it may have been ALW asking about this when it first started, but I think it might have been like Money Mark or something. But regardless, I know when the series first started, people did ask about us reviewing Winning Time. And from everything I've heard, it's outrageous, and it sounds like something that would be fun to watch and review. So I think we can do it at some point.
I'm definitely down for that. You know, Maggie said earlier, the OC, I'm also down for that. I actually watched like, I think the first two or three episodes, and I was like, oh my God, it's still so good. It's still so good. My favorite teen drama of all time.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that at some point. Again, I'm running through Entourage because that's our current review. You mentioned this on Monday with the Circle having the Spice Girls on it. That's probably gonna be our next trash reality show that the fiance and I watch. We're finishing up Are You the One season 5 right now. We're on the final.
You're on a good pace, because I think the final episode, the finale of The Circle season 4 is going to be up next Wednesday. So you can watch the whole season
4 through. We're in good shape because, we won't get through that by next Wednesday. We'll probably finish Are You the One tonight, because I don't know about watching SmackDown. We'll probably finish Are You the One tonight. And then tomorrow, we're not going to have a lot of time to watch anything. Sunday, we might have a little bit of time. But we'll easily. I'm hoping we can start The Circle at some point this weekend. I sold her on the Spice Girls thing, so I think she's going to at least give it a shot because of that. And then hopefully she gets hooked into it and doesn't abandon me on it. All right, SB3, anything else you would like to plug or speak on?
Check me out at True Hill SP3, True Hill Heat YouTube channel tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, True Hill Heat 176. Anybody in the chat who was asking about Stephanie McMahon stepping down or Sasha and Naomi, will talk in depth about the big news from wrestling this week, even Ric Flair wrestling for some reason. We'll talk about that as well. Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. I hope yesterday's live episode will be up later today when YouTube gets off their grimy stuff, as well as AEW review over on True Hill Eat. Wrestle Talk podcast YouTube channel on Wednesdays. Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel tonight after SmackDown and Rampage. And then here, Fightful Overbooked. I want to say I apologize for anyone who's keeping up with True Rewind. We missed a week. It's been a busy week. It's been SP3 week. So we'll get back on it next week. Same thing for Degrassi Dudes, me and Jensen. We're trying to figure out our schedules, his schedule, my schedule, being out here in the UK. And he's got a shoot job now. So we're figuring out the right day to make our return for Degrassi Dudes. But you can go back to old episodes and leave a comment if you want a specific episode for us to come back on. Let us know that way. Or message us at True Hill SP3. That's the way to contact.
Eddie is asking, y'all watch Big Brother US? I do. I watch. I know what the new season doesn't premiere for like another month or so, but I try to watch it when it's on.
I will be watching the new season because Wes is going to be on it. I watch Eddie.
Is Wes on it? I thought Bananas was going to be on it at some point.
Is he? I don't know. I know Wes is going to be, because I messaged you and Cher about Wes being on Big Brother. So I'm going to try to watch Big Brother with Wes.
I'll watch.
Did Jeremy's internet crap out? I hear him off and on.
But, sure.
He's like going.
through the matrix.
Oh, it's working fine for me.
There you go. You're good. You're good now. You're good now.
All right. Well, let's wrap this shit up. Guys, I might be on Twitch today if my internet doesn't stop being a little dick or does stop being a little dick. I'll get on Twitch. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Thanks, everybody, for supporting all week here on SP3 Week. Pillar to Post was a lot of fun. I hope everybody checks that out. Check out the Spotlight. I'll be at AIW tomorrow if you're in the Akron, Ohio area. Come to AIW. Come say hi. Come hang out. Should be a very fun show. Bye, everybody. Bye, everyone. Take care. Have a good
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.